If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand. Bye weekend for the Patriots. Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston and of the Football Fix is with us.
Yes, sir.
Football Fix tonight, 6 p.m. Don't miss it. They're also getting on me saying, well, you and Phil always stick around for early edition. Why don't you promote that? Like, yeah. It's not the fix.
That's a good song, Jim.
That's why. That's my answer to that, because it's not the Football Fix.
Yeah.
How about the fix?
I mean, Early Edition's a great program.
Yeah.
And we're going to be on it. It's going to be phenomenal.
Well,
the fix is first.
Obviously.
Watch the fix.
Yeah.
We'll tell you at the end of the fix to stick around
for
Early Edition.
That's why I don't tell you that we're on the fix.
Why is the Early Edition so late now?
It starts at 6:30 after the football block every night, 6 o'clock. There you go.
Every night.
6 o'clock show.
Now you've got an answer. Good?
Got it.
Phil, who are the Patriots rooting for?
Houston, baby. Get your Letterman jackets out, boys.
Let's go.
Zoe called that yesterday. He said, internally, they're rooting for the Texans.
There's just so many reasons why. You're familiar, obviously.
Yeah.
You've played them many times. You had those joint practices with them a couple summers ago. You know the scheme inside and out, both sides of the ball.
I think, and it's going to, I think, surprise some people.
Yes, Bert, tell me more.
The reason is it's not because of, you know, Bouye is gone, or they know how to block Watt, or Watt hasn't any sacks on Brady or tackles against Brady. I think this is more of a defensive matchup where they feel confident going into this game. And what Brian Flores has been able to do with some of the walkarounds and their ability to say, you know what, we want to go get somebody, let's go get him. Pressure. Because I don't know if their offensive line can handle, say you send an extra guy. I don't know if they can handle it. And I don't know if Watson's ready for it.
And the Patriots have been adding
without running
to those types of packages as the year's gone on. They've gotten more exotic in terms of how they're bringing pressure.
Everybody thinks and assumes it's okay. It's Brady. Brady knows them or Brady. No, I think they're rooting for the Texans because the way we've been treading defensively, we could do some things against them.
That offensive line is one of the worst, not just this year. It's one of the worst in the last 10 years.
Right.
And we came out of that week one game. The Patriots had a great game in terms of generating pressure on the quarterback. And we all looked at that and we said, okay, well, are they actually good at getting after the quarterback, or is this offensive line just terrible? And it turns out the offensive line was terrible. The Patriots are pretty good. They're better than I think we thought at getting after the quarterback. They actually lead the league in third down pressure percentage this year, which is another sign that, okay, they've actually been pretty good. When they know the other team's going to pass, they've been pretty good in terms of being able to dial up pressure, but that offensive line is terrible. Think about 62 sacks. They've allowed 62 sacks with a mobile quarterback. The last time that anyone's been sacked that many times was John Kitna in 2006. That's a guy who's just going to stand back there and take hit after hit after hit after hit. Watson's not that kind of guy. That's not what this offense is. This offense encourages the scramble drill type
play. Was that John Kitna in Detroit at that time?
Was he in Cincy? Cincinnati, I think, maybe.
I think it was Cincinnati.
He was in Cincy.
No, 2006, Detroit.
Oh, wow.
First year, Beadle. In Detroit. I thought that was the year he was in Detroit. They went 3-13. They sucked. Sorry, Harvey.
But that's what you're looking at in terms of an offensive line. And then their secondary isn't great. You look at the Texans' defense, and you say, wow, great front seven. Have improved big time since week one. J.J. Watt has returned to form in many ways. Whitney Mercilus is healthy. Jadeveon Clowney might be so good that he gets franchise tag next year. Great front. That should help the secondary big time, right? Well, you look at some of their passing numbers. They're right in the middle of the pack in terms of quarterback rating allowed, yards per attempt allowed.
It
should be much better. Yeah. Yeah. If their secondary was halfway decent, they would be near the top of the league in terms of pass defense.
I think Honey Badger there, too, is a little
overrated.
A little overrated and long in the tooth at this point.
Well, I think when you have a nickname, yeah, I think that tends to happen. So
but
he's probably still one of their better players in the secondary. It's the guys on the outside.
No, I agree with that.
They're all getting a little bit old, and they're just not very good. And so I think that's a really good matchup. And then, and you guys, I believe, hit on this earlier in the week. If the Texans come here, it means you're getting a much better shot at the Chiefs getting beat in the divisional round because either Baltimore against San Diego or LA is going to Kansas City. And I think either of those teams would have a good shot at being in Kansas City.
That sounds good.
I know people have said, do you guys believe this? Do you think the Colts have a chance to go into Kansas City and win?
Nope, I don't.
See, I think they have a chance.
Everybody has a chance.
Well, I just think it's vastly, right? Yes. I think their odds
nothing
are
would shock
far inferior to the odds that the Ravens and the Chargers would have going there.
This is as exciting a wild card weekend I can remember. I'm serious. There's been some duds over the last couple of years, but like that Seattle Cowboy game, I'm looking forward to that thing right out of the gate. It's Colts Texans divisional game.
There have been duds in the divisional round. Patriots Titans last year, like
yeah. Patriots, Denver over the years with Tebow. I mean, there's been some bad games. That wasn't wild card, but for wild card weekend, these are damn good matchups. Eagles at Chicago.
Yep, another good one. Yep,
who knows what the Eagles are going to do?
I like Seahawks Cowboys.
I'm rooting for the Bears.
I'll be interested in that game too.
I'm rooting for the Bears to win this weekend, and I'm rooting for the Bears next weekend against the Rams. That's the matchup I want to see.
Because you're hoping the teams that they're playing get knocked off?
Bears, and I'd like to see the Bears.
We're rooting for a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl.
I just would like to see the Bears choke the life out of the St. Louis Rams. Like, that to me would be fun. I enjoyed
St. Louis
it when they
Rams.
Did the, sorry.
Yeah.
LA
no, it's okay.
Rams.
It's okay.
I have an issue with both the Chargers
and
the
Rams. Yeah, I know the LA thing
I can't
is
get
weird.
The LA thing. Yeah. I can't wrap my head around it. Brian's in Boston. Brian.
Hi.
Hey.
That's not Dylan.
Hi. Brian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay. David is in Rhode Island. David.
Hey, so you think that it was a mistake, the Patriots, of not drafting Lamar Jackson for what he's doing in Baltimore right now instead of drafting Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel?
No.
I don't. I think what the Ravens have done has been incredible. It's been really impressive. Lamar Jackson has been really impressive. I'm not sure how sustainable that kind of offense is. And the reason I say that is for the same reasons I said when we were talking about the draft, which was if this was what Lamar Jackson's going to be as a pro, the odds on him getting injured and tanking your season are too high.
Problem is, too,
it's really hard to build around that kind of quarterback where you're running that much.
And if you get in a shootout, his accuracy is in question. Like even when he's on the boot, some of the balls are lazy, and he's throwing them at the feet of the tight end.
I don't know, guys. I think there's a chance that you see him
improve. He makes some great throws, and he also
a great deal. I think his problem is when he throws the ball, everything is hard and fast, and he's got a great arm.
He has a great arm.
He's like totally.
But it's like
he can make every throw. He really can.
Oh,
it's just a question of how frequently those throws are accurate.
He just needs to work on that touch a little bit because he throws everything hard, fast.
Well, and that was a knock on him coming out too. It was not that the down the field accuracy was terrible. It was the short stuff, the throws he should make.
When you make a throw, 12,
the little bubble
15,
screens,
16 yards,
the swing passes to the running backs, those were an issue.
That throw he had to the tight end,
oh, gorgeous,
moving in and out, and he was moving away from him to the left. That was one of the best throws I've seen.
Gorgeous,
yeah.
But you know, again,
I know you see why a team would draft him there, and say, let's see what we got.
Totally. Especially if you were in the situation that they were in. Yeah, with Joe Flacco.
But you got a back now that has gotten better throughout the course of the year. It's going to get you 100 yards if you feed him, and you have a 6 to 7 year starter at guard or tackle. Like, I'd take those two players over Jackson.
You think you do?
This, he wouldn't play this year. Brady's still here. That's the thing. Flacco was already hurt and on the mend.
Well, and especially if you're trying to build the team the way it looks like the Patriots are trying to build it right now, which I think is really interesting. It's fascinating to me, the future, both immediate and long term, of this franchise. How are they building the team? How are they going about building the team? It looks like the running game is something that is going to be emphasized more when the rest of the league is becoming more pass happy and it's becoming more about the spread, and you want to look more like these college offenses and you want to cater things to the quarterbacks that are coming out of the college game. What do the Patriots do? They use a fullback more than almost everyone else in the league. They draft a running back and a guard in the first round. That's not the NFL in 2018, but if you're the Patriots and you want to zig when everyone else is zagging, that's what they're doing.
A member of the Patriots has been named to the AP All-Pro First Team. We'll tell you who that is coming up next after the Action Update. Brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com. Mm.
Now, a look at the numbers with the Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Blink motion-activated cameras can monitor your home, pets, and package deliveries while you're away during the holidays. Save 40% now at blinkprotect.com/holiday. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The college football national championship game, Clemson and Alabama, sent to Clara, California on Monday. Fourth meeting between the two teams since the college football playoff was implemented, and the third time for the national championship. Alabama at 14-0, led by Tua Tagovailoa, was 41 touchdown passes this season. Clemson led by true freshman quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who has 27. Clemson a +180 on the money line. Alabama -210. The over-under in this game at 59, as both teams are averaging over 40 points per game, holding their opponents to under 15. Alabama favored in this game by 5.5. I'm Tony Desiri, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotion.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bertrand here on this Friday. Phil Perry is with us. We'll get back to your calls, 617-779-0985. We did touch on the McDaniels Flores stuff with Burt Breer earlier in the show. We were talking about the idea that Brian Flores should go now, right? That if he gets a job, should he go now? I say go for it. We focused on the money.
Go for it.
Are there other reasons why maybe Brian Flores or Josh McDaniels want to get out now versus waiting a year or two?
Well, I think there's a sense that, okay, this thing is coming to an end in the near future, right? We don't know when that is. And Burt referenced this. I was listening to you guys earlier. When Brady's your quarterback,
right,
you're in a short-term window here. And if you are anyone who is not Bill Belichick, who we think is going to be around for a little while, do you want to stick that out? And do you want to be here for whatever the next phase is? Or do you get out while the getting's good and try to capitalize a little bit and just, you know, while you have the opportunity, while you are coveted, and move on? And I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the fact that this is a tough place to work, Zoe, and you know this.
Right.
Not just for the players. We talked about that a lot when it comes to Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady. I've heard that a lot. This is a tough place to work if you're in the front office. It's a tough place to work if you're a coach. And again, if you had the opportunity now, why not seize it?
And I think it's the most difficult job on the assistants, because it's like, you know, when Brady would always tell the story about Rodney Harrison, I'm going to get in there at 6 a.m., but you're going to get in there and you think you're going to beat me. You're not going to beat me. The assistants always felt that we can't work less than what Bill does. You know what I mean? So I've heard some assistants that have left here that sort of have this sense of freedom when they leave. And, okay, yeah, I could go out. We could be different at other places, but you don't get the same success. The next thing you know, you're out of a gig in 2 years. But
so what happens? But what happens if you don't have the success tied to all the work that comes with being here?
See,
which is what you might be looking at in a handful of years.
Explain to me how this works, though. Okay, so Flores is going to do the interviews. When do you start talking money? If you're really interested, you think, okay, we're going to offer the guy the job. If you're Brian Flores, you're sitting there, and Beto and I talked about this with Bert earlier. Say it's $16 million for four.
Mm-hmm.
Can he sit there and say, boy, I could do one more year and probably get that north of 30?
No, but what if it's not the money? What if it's the idea that, hey.
I think it's about the money.
If you're Brian Flores, of course. That's money. Always
But
so
that's also, it's such a bump. You're gonna turn your nose up at that kind of
it's
bump.
It's a huge bump no matter what job you take.
I'm not taking it for $3 million. To be a head guy. If Josh is sitting here and he's one of the lower tiered, he's being paid like a lower
tier. Not Josh, Brian Flores. Let's focus on it for 1 second. He's going into an offseason where Trey Flowers may not be here next year. And the team may be sort of, focusing on more of a rebuild, and there could be changes to the roster.
Devin McCourty is making a lot of money next year. Dante Hightower is making a lot of money next year. There are some, quote-unquote outs in those contracts this offseason.
If you had to put Band-Aids over that defense and you know it, I can't make it work again.
Why am I going to stick around to look bad? I'm not going to do that. I'll go now where I'm viewed as a good candidate.
Stock is high.
And my stock is high. I'll do it now. I'm not going to wait for next year when my stock may not be as high based on what this defense is. By the way, this leads me to what I told you I would tell you right now, and that is Stephon Gilmore has been named first team All-Pro in the NFL by the AP today.
There you go.
Big honor.
Deserved.
Unless for Brian Flores, it all comes back to he thinks, or maybe he knows, he's not quite ready for this. And that would be the number one thing holding back. Look, I'm going to pick up the phone. People want to talk to me about being a coach? Hell yeah. I'll take some interviews. I'll talk to everybody. Oh, he's been on people's radar going back for years now when he was a scout and when he was doing that. He's been a defensive coordinator for how long?
Well, he's not even the defensive coordinator.
Not even technically a coordinator.
He's going on four years.
That's why that head coach money is such a significant bump. Go be a head coach.
Here's what I would say, Artie.
How about this?
What's one more year going to do for that?
It gets him that much more ready to go be a head coach. Maybe he feels 100% confident in his abilities to go do this thing, but if Brian Flores doesn't end up taking one of these jobs or ends up offering any of these jobs, my gut tells me he's just not ready.
Hey, if he's sitting there, too, and you're looking at it, and there's a guy like John Gruden who's struggling because, thought that guy had it all figured out. Good coach at one time, went in the booth. He's going to come back. That team's going to be a favorite. They couldn't get out of their own way. He's hiring Mike Mayock as his damn GM. What is this league really coming to? I gotta make sure this is right.
You guys know the pedigree and what the resumes look like for most head coaches. How many of them get the head coaching job after not even being officially an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator? And that for a number of seasons. How many guys get the gig?
It's rare. So I would say this. If I were him, and I go into any of these interviews, and I think the situation is set up for me to fail year one, and I just watched what happened in Arizona, or I'm watching some of these other teams where owners really aren't willing. They may say they're willing to commit to you and to give you the time you need, but they're really not because they're all impatient, and they all, to some extent, not all, but there are a lot of them who really don't know what they're doing. And you think you're set up to fail? Then don't do it. Stick around. Be the defensive coordinator. Get the title. Get whatever bump comes with that. And then there'll be another 6 or 7 jobs open again next year.
Right.
And then you go after it next year. But, Hardy, you don't know what's going to happen next year. The Patriots defense, for all the criticism that we've given them, and rightfully so in many cases, is among the best in the league in a lot of important categories, especially when it comes to pass defense. And again, his stock is high. If they lose their second best defensive player, who's Trey Flowers, this offseason, and they all of a sudden become what they were a year ago, say, and they should have been better, and he should have been, now he's the defensive coordinator. Now he's the defensive coordinator. Now it really is his defense. And they fall back, and they get worse. Are the opportunities still there? Are they still there in the same way they were this time around? So I would say go. I would say jump. Do it as soon as you can. And I think, again,
it's
from talking to
awfully
people,
awfully cavalier for somebody who may not be, who you can say that and I can say that. I mean, looking back on it now, hell, Matt Patricia shouldn't have gone. He wasn't ready. He's not cut out for the gig.
He may never be ready.
Well, that's again. It's just kind of who you are sometimes.
Right, but it's easy for us to
sometimes
say,
you're just not.
Oh,
a good
you
head
get
coach.
Offered a head coaching job. This is not a job where you go and learn on the job.
Sure well, it is.
I'm still sure learning every day.
I disagree with you there.
But Bill Belichick will tell you he learned on the job in Cleveland.
Yes, everyone's going to have a certain amount of.
Bill Walsh said humility. No one is ready to be a head coach. Nobody is.
Yeah, but there are degrees of being closer to it.
That's probably true, too.
The guy still, at this moment, is still not even a coordinator. And you want him to go take any number of head coaching jobs offered to him just to get out? Because personnel-wise, he's losing a couple of guys next year?
Well, because it's the great unknown, Hardy. You have a bird in the hand? That's a saying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel it. Thank you. I need a little confirmation there because I was a little unsure when it first came out of my mouth. Birds? Something about birds and stones and bushes. Listen. You just go when you have the opportunity. There are 32 jobs, Hardy.
Not every time.
To stick your nose up.
Not every time you don't. If that were the case, Josh McDaniels would have been gone last year.
Well, you know what the difference is with Josh, though? He already had a shot. He already had a shot, and it didn't go well. This is Brian Flores' first try. So if it doesn't go well, and he's gone after year one, and he's still in his late 30s, is he never going to get a chance ever again? Maybe. Again, because it's a great unknown. But the odds are he probably would. So, again, it's not even just about Brian Flores. I think when you are in this organization right now, the way it's set up right now, we could talk about the future and how it's built and how much of their cap space is built around guys on rookie deals versus veterans and how much the top two players on their cap next year are going to take up and how significant that is between Tom Brady and Stephon Gilmore, the way it's set up right now, and how difficult it's going to be for this team to compete when you look at those numbers and you look at the history of the league. I would say get out while the getting's good.
Defense is going to suck next year. Phil Perry just said it.
We don't know.
What, that's a heck of an honor for Stephon Gilmore with this list of names out there, though, as far as first-teamers.
He deserved it, totally.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good honor for him.
I believe he was the highest-graded corner in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Not that they're the be-all, end-all, but for the last 3 months.
Him and Kyle Fuller, that's it.
He had a great year.
Man.
Really did. You had a great year.
Now, this week after week, this is valuable. Dependable.
AP All-Pro, valuable. Pro Bowl. Garbage.
Garbage. Well, just look at, and I was saying this to Zell off air right before we came on.
Listen to this story.
So, Beetle, you look at the first team All-Pro offensive lineman, and at right tackle, there's Mitchell Schwartz. Well-deserved. These are people who know what they're doing.
Way better than Eric Fisher.
That are voting on this. It's not fans. It's not players who I think sometimes are just kind of checking boxes. Eric Fisher is the left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not a bad player.
No.
But I believe he was the highest vote getter among tackles for the Pro Bowl. Mitchell Schwartz didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Made all pro.
When that happened, the assumption was people just got confused. And they saw tackle, Chiefs, left tackle. He must be the good one. Check the box for Eric Fisher. Mitchell Schwartz, never heard of him. He doesn't make the list. So now Mitchell Schwartz... maybe he's an alternate at this point. I'm not sure how that works. But he wasn't voted into the Pro Bowl, and he's a first-team All-Pro. It's unbelievable.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jim probably played this one for Hardy.
This is Hardy's stupid song.
This is Hardy's jam.
Hate the game. Don't do that, Phil. I told you. Move your head that way.
Do it, Phil. No. I'll play the bass. Play the air bass.
a little thumb slap there.
Slapping the bass.
Slapping the bass. The man is slapping the bass.
A little carried away. Those alto saxes? Trumpets?
I think it's probably a sax, probably a trumpet.
Flute? Magic flute?
A rusty trombone?
I don't think you can hear the rust.
David's in the car.
Thank you.
David?
Thank you.
Hey, Rusty.
David, please be there.
How are you guys?
Hey, David, what's up?
Well, first of all, Belichick was failing in New England the same way that he was in Cleveland until Mo Lewis happened. So I wouldn't assume that people learn from their mistakes. But the second thing I will tell you is Tom Brady's going to sign a 3-year deal with a 4-year option with another team in the offseason. He's not playing another season for the Patriots or Bill Belichick.
Tell me how that happens.
For me, I know, well, first of all, Brady's going to go to the team and say, listen, we can either do this the nice way or the hard way. I'm not playing here anymore. I'm fed up. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of being the cheap guy that has to be deferential to Bill Belichick, whose career I made. By accident, granted, but I made his career. I saved him from being a failure twice. So you're not going to pay me $35 million a year. Somebody else will. So let's, you know, think about this. Why is he not signed? There's no good answer to that. The team wants him. Allegedly, he wants to play multiple years, which I do believe. He's going to play 3 to 5 more years. Why is he not signed? He's not signed because he doesn't want to be here. The same reason Jimmy Garoppolo didn't change agents. He didn't want to be here. So this whole narrative about how the Kraft and Brady conspired to trade Garoppolo, do you really think Brady woke up Halloween
morning? I disagree with the Garoppolo one. Garoppolo, I bet, wanted to play for Bill.
And wanted to be traded? That's ridiculous. He didn't think about the backup quarterback midseason. And by the way, if that was true, that it was a Kraft-Brady thing, he would have been signed immediately to a long-term deal. So all of this is pointing to the fact that when Bill Belichick decided to screw the team by benching Malcolm Butler, Brady said, you know what, I'll put up with anything except deliberately doing what's not in the best interest of the team. I'm here to win, period. If you're not, I don't want to be here anymore. Think about everything that's happened since that. He redid the last version of Tom versus Time. Why do you think that was? Because of Malcolm Butler happened. Think of all the things he was saying. Think of what Amendola was saying. They don't think the coach is all in on winning. He's more interested in being a vindictive narcissist than he is in building a good team and winning again. Because he has 7 Super Bowl rings. No one's going to have more. Nobody's ever going to get more than 5 as a head coach. He doesn't need to win as much as he wants to prove he's got the biggest Johnson in the room.
It's interesting you have that take, that he's not interested in building, you know, that type of winner, yet they've had 9 straight buys. I mean, seem to be in contention every year for the last, what, 18 years?
Okay, so I think
it's more important.
Malcolm Butler.
I'll tell you why. Because the Super Bowl decision pissed people off.
It's the only one. That's the only one.
That's kind of a big one.
The vindictive narcissist, I think, probably gets shoehorned in there.
Because if you're not going to play, Phil, you've covered this team a long time. If you're not going to play the player like a Danny Shelton over the last couple of weeks or an Adrian Claiborne, do those guys dress out?
Dress out? No. They watch in the press box.
Yeah. Because what are we going to do, Malcolm? We're going to dress you out. We're not going to play.
Can we put the Butler thing aside? Yeah. Just put the Butler thing aside and go with what David was saying in terms of the fact that this is in Tom Brady's hands. And why hasn't there been a deal done yet? Almost always, he's had a deal by now, correct?
Yes. We know that to be true.
We would assume, I would think, that the Patriots do not want him at a $27 million cap hit for 2019, correct? I mean, it's almost 15% of their cap next year. Between Stephon Gilmore and Tom Brady for 2019, they're currently slated to have 22% of their cap assigned to 2 players. One team in the cap era has won a Super Bowl with that much cap to just 2 players. And it was the Niners with Steve Young and Jerry Rice.
Ooh.
Years and years ago. Now, teams have gotten close. So Julio Jones and Matt Ryan counted basically about a quarter of the salary cap a couple years ago when the Patriots beat them. This year, between Cam Jordan and Drew Brees, they're way up there, too. They're almost 22% of the cap. But those teams had a ton of players that were contributing big time on rookie contracts. Talented guys that were cheap. This Patriots team's not built that way.
No.
This Patriots team has the lowest percentage of their salary cap for this year assigned to rookie contracts in the league. 32 out of 32. They have the highest percentage of quote-unquote lower-tier veterans, which according to Spotrac, who puts this stuff together, is basically if you're making $4 million a year or less, you're a veteran on a lower-tier type of deal. So they have the most of those guys, and they have the least contributing rookies. Does that feel like a plan for long-term success.
No, but to go back to his point, David's point,
yep,
which was you've got a quarterback who probably wants more money.
Yep.
And you've got a team that probably wants to adjust his cap hit.
Right.
Isn't that a recipe for the two sides get together and do a deal?
It is.
And so if that doesn't happen this offseason, we will have a lot of questions.
I think we already do.
We have questions now, but
they could see this coming.
If it doesn't happen this offseason, then I think something really weird has happened.
And how much of it is from Brady's end? The team, I'm sure, wants to adjust that number for next year.
Does the coach?
Yeah.
I think he has to. He's the one who's putting the team together. It's too hard to put together a team.
Maybe he doesn't want to.
No. But there's a price to pay from his perspective, which is adding years. Does he want to add years? Does Bill Belichick want to add years to Brady?
I think at this point he would, because you don't have a guy in house that is that's the next guy.
Based on what Jonathan Kraft told us yesterday, we all understand what this is.
We know how ownership feels. They want him here. They want to keep him here. They want to get it done.
He would not leave and hold a gun to their head, meaning the Kraft family. Based on, I don't think this is just about football payment. I think this is about a life payment.
Well, this is a respect.
What they've done it's for each other.
I don't know what that means, but this is a respect thing, I think.
Could be.
This is about
him
being
get his
paid.
Business off the ground. Could be.
Which, no. Well, now, now we're getting.
Now we're getting into some salary cap
workarounds. Yeah.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
What are you looking for this weekend, Phil? Wild card games. Anything stand out to you? You excited about any of these games in particular?
I'm excited about all of them.
Yeah,
I mean, that Houston game is the one that you want to watch. If you're a Patriots fan, you want to root for the Texans.
Yep.
It might be hard, but you got to just out. And I understand you're confident in your team if you're a Patriots fan. Anybody that comes here will be able to beat it. We're at home. We're 8-0 at home. I get it.
Extra day of prep if they win.
Yeah, an extra day. You know, that night that you got the Texans if they win.
You can know by 6 o'clock, say third quarter, if it's in hand.
Although with this team, again, prepping. They know them so well. Yeah. I don't even know if that matters.
No, but I know. But it could just, all right, Josh, go. Put the game plan in. Let's get it.
The one issue is Deshaun Watson. He's an issue.
Yep.
His weapons are, I would say, mediocre, even though he has arguably the best receiver in the league in DeAndre Hopkins. There's just so little after him. That I think if you're the Patriots, you can get creative. You can do whatever you want. You want to double the guy, go ahead and double him. You want to just shadow him with Gilmore?
Gilmore with help.
You could do Gilmore with help.
See, based on
which is a little bit unusual, but
they played a ton of nickel. They have. They played a ton of nickel down a stretch here. And they've also done it with multiple safeties. Now, I don't know how much the threat the tight end is. Can Chung do that?
Ryan Griffin?
You start getting me talking about, okay, so you start talking about Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to take Van Noy and have Van Noy spy him. Van Noy's like the edge guy. It's got to be Chung or somebody like that.
Chung's
right?
Done a little bit of that. Yeah. Okay. I would say you're just breaking out the game plan that you used for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Which would be you're crush rushing.
Oh, blitz zero.
You're bull rushing everyone. And on third down, you can break that stuff out. You can do the blitz zero. You can do that amoeba front where Trey Flowers is on the nose and everybody's standing up around him, walking around. Even for, you know, it's a second year guy. It's not like it's Josh Allen. And Deshaun Watson will know much better what he's looking at, but you can do that sort of stuff and have some success. You gotta root for the Texans if you're a Patriots fan. Have to. I think the Ravens matchup would be an interesting one just because would be an absolute slugfest. And if you're not as confident in this Patriots offense as you have been in years past, maybe they're not a terrible option because you feel like you can slow down that offense as long as you get in front of Lamar Jackson, right? So you load up against the run against the Ravens, and you hope you win, you know, 13-10 because that defense is so great. But I wouldn't feel comfortable about that if I were you. I would say root for the Texans if you're a Patriots fan.
Do what the Patriots are doing. Root for the Texans.
Are the Patriots doing that?
Yeah, that's what we hear.
There you go.
Felger Maz already picked the Texans.
Pick them for what?
Just to win?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They do picks now? I thought it was picking and sticking.
They're doing picks. They already thought they're Texan guys.
I think that.
Yeah, I would say the most interesting thing about this weekend, though, is if one of your coordinators go. Aside from the Texans game.
Okay, interesting.
You want to see tonight or tomorrow or the next day?
As soon as this weekend.
I doubt it. That seems early.
Yeah, I think it's early.
But, you know, especially with some of these jobs.
That wasn't on my radar.
Well, you never know. If there's been a report out of Green Bay where if Josh McDaniels wants the job, it's his. So if he goes and he interviews and he likes it,
well, as you know,
and they want him.
It takes a long time to decide, and even then he might back out.
You never know.
I just keep wondering, what's going to happen to Josh McDaniels' family if he takes one of these jobs? I'm very concerned about that for him.
I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
I think they'll be fine.
Oh, will they?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I mean, because last year I know that was...
One of the reasons why I didn't believe
the reason. Big reason. Family. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it this time around.
He did come out after the fact and say that was not one of the reasons.
Yeah, I know. Thankfully, he did. Once training camp started, he said that over the summer.
Yeah, he said if I was worried about my family moving,
God,
I never would have gone to the interview.
All the finger wagging. How dare you talk about his family?
Take those kids out of school.
It wasn't about his family. It never was about his family. It was about the Colts.
I'll tell you what, third grade stuff, man.
Would you like that job if you're Josh McDaniels? The Packers job?
No, I would not.
I'd rather go to Cleveland if I were.
Because you guys are not Aaron Rodgers.
It's almost like you're.
No,
I am. I like Rodgers.
He's terrific.
I just think he's a tough guy to coach, like you talked about.
But if you go to Green Bay, you might have three or four really good years.
Here's
really top quarterback in the league, Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yep.
If you go to Cleveland, you might have a decade, or you might have a Patriot-like run in Cleveland. I know that's absurd to say anything would be Patriot-like, but you know what I mean? A nice, long career where you're with a quarterback that you could be paired with for a really long time.
What's happening right now?
I have no
smelling
afraid
me?
Someone's going to steal his steaks out of the
room. Oh, is that what that was?
She reached down the bottom. Like deep.
Did you, has there been an email sent out to the company about
We've
steaks
about
in
it.
The fridge?
We've thought about it. Zoe purchased some steaks this morning.
Mm. He's been showing them all. He's been walking around. Look at these three porterhouses. I can't believe the price I got.
Blown away by
They're the best. Jim Louth had the best idea maybe ever in the history of this program. He said, you should send out office-wide email saying,
my day for you, huh, Jim?
Today. Free steaks in the refrigerator. Come and get them.
First come, first serve.
Because you keep taking them out.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some garlic. I'm going to put some stuff on them and some salt.
Oh, family secret.
Woo. So you just don't eat the raw meat? You like treat it a little bit?
Look at that.
And then cook it?
That's why I cook stuff. Look how good that is.
Look how I cooked it.
My daughter painted those pots in the background. Nice job.
Those are nice.
Those are nice. $30, I'll sell you one.
You're a national treasure, Scott Zolak. You know that?
Can I go hold the steaks?
No.
What if I walked out there right now?
You can go look at them.
He's eyeing the fridge right now. He's petrified.
Artie was so annoyed with Zoe parading through the studio with the package of steaks.
Those are good steaks.
Good price on these.
Great price.
Great price.
Holding them up in the air.
Inch and a half thick.
Are you good tonight, kids?
Oh,
the
man.
The kids want chicken fingers.
They do. No, Brody likes steak. He loves steak. Sam does too.
All right.
I think the steaks are fine. I've got a good angle on them right now.
Okay.
I think it's too much food. You don't need that whole steak.
I don't need a whole steak. I'm going to eat it, though.
It's the difference between need
three
and
I one.
What are you going to do with all
those?
You
can have one. You got a family of five. What are you talking about? Five people, three steaks.
Everybody's
you need three steaks?
There are three large, healthy steaks.
Maybe I'll let them marinate. Maybe I'll spread it throughout the weekend. Have one during the game tomorrow. That'd be nice. A little fire. Put a fire on.
Be great.
Oh, you heat your home?
A little glass.
Yeah.
Nobody does it like me. With a salt and a fire.
TV on.
I got life figured out. I should probably have a playbook for life.
Marinade.
Eat steak. Ever heard of that?
Steak,
no, what's it like?
Nice knife.
Tell me more. All right, Phil Perry. Appreciate you being here.
Okay, thanks, boys. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy the bye weekend.
Enjoy the bye.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings.
Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.